Hey folks, we've got a new workshop coming up that I'm really excited about. This is a topic that I don't talk about a whole lot on the show. This is September 23rd at noon, and this is going to be about debt. I find a lot of the teaching on this particular topic is not so great. It's very one-sided, or it misses a lot of detail that I think really needs to be addressed. You know, how do we get into it? We talk about that a little bit, but there, you know, some people say, well, you'd get into it because of lack of discipline. Well, no, it often is more nuanced than that. We're going to be talking about how do you get out of it? How do we change our mindset regarding it in lots of different ways? Some of the best advice I was ever given was like over 30 years ago that helped me a lot. And I'm going to share some of that in the workshop. And we're going to talk about the little known facts and myths about credit scores. A lot of people don't understand how credit scores work. So I'm going to get into that. And people ask about, now, Paul, what about 30 versus 15-year mortgages? And people think you always do one or the other. And that's more nuanced as well. And I'm going to be talking about strategically when to use one versus another and some of the thinking regarding that. So it's going to be a great workshop. I'm really excited about it. September 23rd at noon. Join us, and you can click in the show notes to sign up or go to paulwinkler.com/debt. We'll see you there.
Welcome to the Investor Coaching Show, a podcast to help you get an insider's view of the financial world and escape common investment traps. We look at the financial news of the day and help you make sense of it so you can relax about money. And here's your host, Paul Winkler.
All right. I am back here on the Investor Coaching Show, Paul Winkler, talking about money, investing, financial planning, retirement planning. You know, one of the things I've been talking about recently is the tax proposals, and a lot of people worried about the tax proposals in Washington. How are we going to pay for all this debt that we're incurring? How are we going to pay for, you know, the bills that are being run up? And one of the things that was being talked about quite a bit was the inheritance tax plan. You know, so in essence, what happens typically when you buy a stock and you pay, let's say, or a house or, you know, just about anything, you know, capital item, and you pay, let's say, $10,000 for it, and it grows in value, and it goes up in value to $50,000. Now, if we're talking about stock, you know, typically you're going to have some dividends maybe, or stocks. You don't want to buy individual stocks if you can help it. You can have dividends that are taxed every year, you know, so the company pays a dividend, and then you get taxes on that. But most of your gain typically is going to be in the form of appreciation. So it goes up from $10,000 to $50,000. So what happens is companies will take some of their earnings and they'll say, okay, so what are we going to do with these earnings? Well, we could pay some back to the shareholders or the owners of the company. That's a dividend. But, you know, what we ought to do is make sure that we don't become yesterday's company, a has-been company. So what we'll do is we'll take and plow some of the earnings back into the company, maybe do some research, development, you know, maybe buy new equipment, maybe expand into new markets. There are all kinds of things that we can do with the money that we have from earnings. But typically you want to go and plow it back into the company because, hey, if you got a good idea, you know, what better way to finance your great idea than earnings of the company? You know, because you can borrow money, but then you got to pay that back. You can issue new stock, but then you're giving away the earnings of the company when you issue new stock. And it'd be better if you could actually grow the company by actually taking your earnings and putting it into research and determining what areas maybe you can make even greater earnings in the future. That's the idea. So you'll have capital appreciation. Now, capital appreciation can also be a result of just simple growth in the value of a company due to inflation. I mean, think about it. Companies own lots of real estate, right? They own lots of property. They have inventories, and then you have inflation, the dollar's purchasing power going down, and you'll have an increase in value in your real estate prices if for no other reason, just inflation. You know, so you look back in the 1960s, I remember my parents' house, I think they paid like $10,000 for it. And I think it was 15, I can't remember. And, you know, ended up selling for, you know, over $200,000 when they passed. But, you know, it was, and who knows what it'd sell for now, you know, with today's real estate markets. But I digress. So if you look at companies, they go up in value for those reasons. Now, when they go up in value and you sell them, you have to actually pay taxes on it. Now, if you had a piece of raw property and you bought it for $10,000 and sold it for $50,000, you got a $40,000 capital gain as well. So it's the same thing with just raw property. Now, if you have rental property on it, you got recapture of depreciation, all kinds of stuff like that. You know, so I'm not going to get into all that right now. But the idea behind the taxes on capital gains is that, well, you know, if you have too high of a tax, then nobody wants to sell their property. It ties it up, right? With this article saying the Biden inheritance tax plan poised to be scaled back in Congress, according to Bloomberg. This was as of yesterday, September 10th. So taxing heirs on transfers and wealthy individuals hits headwinds. That's probably good news. Situation is fluid as lawmakers race to draft new legislation. So in essence, Democrats in the House and Senate, they said, are moving forward. They're going toward scaling back or potentially dropping President Joe Biden's proposal to significantly limit the tax exemption known as step-up in basis for assets passed at death to heirs. People said in condition of anonymity because the talks are private. And, you know, I've talked a little bit about this, saying yeah, there's probably been some, a little bit of political capital lost as a result of Afghanistan. And it was what I've said over the past couple of weeks that, you know, I think this might be tenuous whether this is going to go forward. There are a lot of Democrats that are looking at re-election next year and a little bit concerned about supporting things like this that are fairly controversial. Now, Biden had proposed raising capital gains tax to 39.6% from 20. Well, you think about that. You're the owner of this property that you bought for $10,000, and let's get into some real numbers. Maybe you got you got a situation where you got $100,000, and maybe you've got a situation where it's gone up to 500, let's say, and you're looking at $160,000 of taxes. You know, you're looking at that and going, why would I do that? I mean, that's a lot of money to pay in taxes on this sale. And, you know, I'm trying to retire. And if I'm going to go take a hit like that, and maybe the next administration's going to drop the tax down to 15 or 20% again, why would I go and sell this property right now? I'd be crazy. I'll sit on it for a couple of years. And also the problem is that, you know, when you have that happen, it may actually cause drops in values of properties, you know, because nobody wants to sell. And, you know, therefore, you're not going to have an increase in the value of the property. And you've got a couple things going against you, because when tax rates go up, typically economic decline follows. There was actually one study done in every state in the union. They actually, I think it was every state, I don't remember. Remember, it was a couple academics. Rick Singfeld was one of them. I think Art Laffer was the other, Reagan's economic advisor. And they are actually looking at what happened when various states and localities increased taxes. And they found that in every case, there was economic decline was the eventual outcome of it. Now, this isn't something that says, hey, economic decline meaning stock prices go down or anything like that. Because remember, what companies will do is they will respond to any kind of a tax hit by either moving out of an area, maybe they're going to reduce, maybe they'll go and reduce the amount of people that they have working in the company and reduce their expenses that way, or they'll reduce purchase of things, or they'll find lower cost providers of things. So companies will always adapt no matter what. But here's the bottom line of it. Increases in income taxes tend to have a negative impact on the economy. And in essence, because it just takes away incentives, right? It's just common sense. Well, what's happening here is we're talking about raising it up to that level, and said Democrats dropped the plan to treat both death as a taxable event for capital gains, because basically what they were going to do is this. The way the rule works now is if you bought this property for $100,000 and it's worth $500,000 at your death and your heirs get this property, then they have a new basis of $500,000. So if it goes up another $10,000 in value to $510,000, they only have a $10,000 capital gain. You know, so that's the idea. That's the way it works right now. Well, part of the reason that that has worked so well is you think about it, my goodness, if you have to track, what did I pay for the property? What improvements, what money have I put in the property? What income, you know, have I had on the property? Or what, let's say if it's a stock, I've paid taxes on dividends. So I've got to look at every dividend that's ever been paid on it and add that to the basis, which is that $100,000 number. I've got to add that number to figure out what my taxable gain is. And the person who bought it, who did all of that work all of those years and paid those taxes over that year, they're not around to explain what happened. And their heirs are sitting there going, I don't know what mom and dad had in dividends on this stock. I have no clue. So they're trying to figure out what the basis is, and it's a nightmare. And it ties up things for even longer. So therefore, what happens, you might have to guess at what the basis is. Well, if you have a step up in basis, it takes away that problem. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to worry about it. And then you can go sell the property, and it can be used for whatever use is best for it, because maybe somebody else is going to buy the property that has a better use for the property than you did, if it's like raw property, land or something like that I'm talking about in this case. So you look at this and go, okay, well, what's going on? Well, they're looking at going, hey, let's not let them have that stuff up in basis. Well, that's kind of falling on deaf ears right now. And they're actually saying this might not indeed happen for that reason. And I'm really hoping for, you know, just everybody's sake that that doesn't happen. Now, there's one guy who said, if I was a betting man, he says, I'd probably think that it does not have as good a chance. And as of this moment, as a SALT reprieve or SALT change of threshold, who has made the repeal of the, you know, they're thinking that that might be a bigger opportunity, which was, remember that, where you got your state and local taxes and you can't deduct those against your federal income taxes. And it's just, in essence, it's a subsidy to the states that have state income taxes. Because if you're able to deduct your state income taxes, you're lowering your federal taxes only because you have a state tax. So therefore, what happens is that actually is, in essence, the federal government subsidizing states. And that's why Trump actually changed that. But, you know, they're talking about maybe doing something with that and changing that. And who knows what will happen with regards to that. But it might be where it ends up going. So, you know, as far as the taxes, I'm kind of glad to see that this is running into rough territory. And I hope it does, because I just don't like the thought of having to deal with all the complexity of losing a step up in basis. And the other thing that they're saying here in this article that really may be falling into into negative territories as far as nobody wanting to actually support it is increasing the capital gains tax to that rate. And they're actually said in there, they literally had a comment in the article someplace saying that, you know, they're concerned that if they do that, that it would actually be a hit to the government. Well, why? You know, they said that if you increase the capital gains rate, it would actually cost the federal government money. Why? Because right now people will sell property and pay a tax at 15, 20%. But would they pay a tax at 40%? No, they'll just hang on to the property. And if they just hang on to the property, then the government gets no tax revenue because they just hang onto the property versus getting 15%. 15 to 20% of something is better than 100% of nothing, so, or 40% of nothing. So in essence, that's really what's going on here.
All right. Let's change gears now.
This is the Investor Coaching Show. I'm Paul Winkler, talking about the world of money investing. PaulWinkler.com is the website where we have videos, audio, the podcast that you can grab, and we take the segments that we put these things together in a nice little package in case you just happen to miss stuff, and then you just get a little announcement on your phone that we got a new segment and what it's about, so you can kind of look and say, ooh, I want to hear about that. Okay, so I was going through, I think it was Facebook. No, it wasn't. It wasn't Facebook. Now that I think about it, it was YouTube. Okay, I look at both things. A lot of times I'll look at YouTube for things, see what kind of videos pop up. There was something that popped up that I should watch. It was Future Balance, $1,809,034, 5 index funds. And this guy's pointing at this number, $1.8 million. And the caption was five best index funds to own for life. This person's going to tell you how you can be a rich person investing in just five index funds. What got me about this is 451,000 views. 451. There's a lot of people watching this stuff, right? And here's a young guy going, hey, look, you can get rich too. I watched the video. It was painful. I watched it for you. I took one for the team. And it was absolute nonsense. Looking at nothing but 5-10-year track record, that's it. Short-term past performance. And then what I did is I said, oh, what five funds was he recommending for you to invest in? Answer, Vanguard Value Index Fund, Vanguard Growth and Income Investment Fund, Vanguard S&P 500 Fund, Vanguard Total Stock Market Index Fund, and Fidelity Zero Large Cap Index Fund. Now, those of you that might know something about investing probably see a problem here. And if you don't, I'll tell you what the problem is. They all own the same stocks. Apple, out of those five funds that he was recommending, all four out of five own Apple stock, biggest holding. Four out of five own Microsoft. Four out of five own Amazon. Four out of five own Facebook. Five out of five own Berkshire Hathaway. Four out of five Google. Alphabet, Google, Johnson & Johnson, 5 out of 5, JP Morgan, 5 out of 5, United Health Group, 5 out of 5, Tesla, 4 out of 5, Procter & Gamble, 5, nothing but overlap and owning the same thing over and over and over again. And this is an asset category that can go 10, 20 years with no returns whatsoever. All he's doing is looking at 10 years track record and telling you how you can get rich, no responsibility. No responsibility to you, the investor. That's what I hate about this kind of information and this kind of advice. Terrible.
Hey, this is Paul Winkler. Hope you enjoyed today's edition of the Investor Coaching Show. If you want to learn more about what we do, go to our website, paulwinkler.com. You can watch some of the videos there, and if you're not already a client, you can set up a free initial consultation. Until next time, I'm Paul Winkler, reminding you that I believe that more educated investors are more confident investors. And confident investors are more successful investors. Have a great one.